When a global publicly held corporation mixes with family. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The once powerful leader of one of the controlling clans at the German automaker Volkswagen has resigned after provoking, then losing a power struggle. Ferdinand Piëch and his wife are out. And where does that leave VW, Audi, Skoda, Porsche, Seat, Bentley, Ducati, Scania? And I probably still miss some. The BBC's Jonty Blum has been watching developments coming out of the VW boardroom. Good morning, Jonty.
Good morning, David.
So you don't have family clans running Microsoft or family clans running Apple, for instance, but we should remind ourselves that is what goes on at Volkswagen.
Even for a European company, it has a rather strange structure in that the family of the founder, Ferdinand Porsche, basically control 51% of the voting shares. And the chairman has just been kicked out, Ferdinand Piëch. He was basically a member of that family as well. But Martin Winterkorn, who was the CEO, was due to replace him as chairman in 2017. And when the chairman started dissing the CEO in public, the rest of the board said, no, no, this has gone on long enough. And it was the chairman who went.
Now, Volkswagen is trying to become planet Earth's most dominant automobile maker. They have work to do in this area. Toyota probably gets that crown at the moment. Do you think this drama hurts them, or now that this has been resolved, they're in a better position to pursue that goal?
I think you'll see the shares have risen today, basically on the idea that it has now been sorted out who's running the organization. They have problems in North America where some of their cars are not that popular. They're not really designed for the American market, and they have a similar problem if they want to break into Asia, and they are still a relatively expensive car maker.
The BBC's Jonty Blum, thank you very much for this.
Always a pleasure, David.
Checking some numbers, the 100 share index is up in London, just slightly. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up. And we've been hearing about the number of deaths counted so far in Nepal and surrounding countries. The business publication Quartz quotes an economist saying the earthquake may have pushed development in Nepal back by 50 years. The country had been on track to become a developed country by the year 2022, but currently is listed as a least developed country. A report released this morning by an outfit called Insurance Quotes shows that North Carolina, Wisconsin, and Maine have at least one thing in common. Drivers in these states pay the least for auto insurance. In North Carolina, insurance rates ran 41% less than the national average. Highest was Michigan, where drivers paid more than double the national average for insurance. Gigi Duban reports on this.
Next time you're in your car driving down the road, take a look at the billboards. Do you see a lot of ads for what are known as ambulance chasers? That might explain a thing or two about your car insurance rates.
Typically, the most significant would be differences in legal environment.
Robert Hoyt teaches risk management and insurance at the University of Georgia. In other words, how likely drivers are in a state to sue each other. Hoyt says when they're setting rates, insurance companies track all of this, even how often juries decide to award for damages. Also, state laws factor in.
The states that have the highest auto insurance costs do happen to be the no-fault states.
No-fault, meaning your insurance company covers your injuries. Laura Adams is senior analyst with Insurance Quotes. She says often it's just a matter of population density.
The more cars, the more accidents that happen.
She says that's why people in urban areas pay a lot more for car insurance. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
You know when you go to your Uncle Freddy and ask to borrow money? You know, instead of putting on a tie and going to plead your case at a bank? Renaud LaPlanche is CEO of a San Francisco-based company called Lending Club, where Uncle Freddy types with money to lend can mix and match with people who need money. It's part of the peer-to-peer economy. Mr. LaPlanche came in to explain how this works. Good morning.
Thank you for having me.
What kind of people would use your system? First of all, who might be a borrower?
So borrowers now could be really anybody. The platform has become very mainstream, but we focused mostly on helping people pay off or refinance their credit card debt. Most people pay 17 or 18% interest rate on their credit card, and we help them pay that balance off with a 12% fixed rate, average interest rate on LendingClub.
So the pool of capital that might get lent out to a person who wants to refinance their credit cards doesn't come from some giant bank. It comes from other people?
So it's really a combination of regular people with extra money who really are not happy with letting that money sit on the savings account and earn less than 1% on their savings, but also institutional investors.
Now, but it's not your money that's being lent out. And so one wonders, do you have enough skin in the game to want to be sure that the people doing the lending are matched with the best people who want to borrow?
Yeah, so we have as much skin in the game as Fidelity or Vanguard. So it's really incumbent on us to make sure that we set the right expectations of returns with investors. And so far, it's been the case. The platform has more than doubled every year since 2007.
So what's your impression of what the traditional banks think of what you do? Are they your friend or your foe?
So a bit of both, but we're trying to be more on the friends category. We're really trying to transform the banking system and make it more transparent, more consumer-friendly, more cost-efficient. But we're trying to do so in a way that also benefits the banks. And so banks now are participating in the platform and they're investing on the platform. They're also using the LendingClub platform to make loans to their own customers. So we see increased banks participation.
Renaud LaPlanche, CEO of San Francisco-based Lending Club. Mr. LaPlanche, thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.